Our daf today is Lamed Vav. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Bet. With the refuah shleimot, Torah batino is Avram Shuma ben Chana, Karmi ben Ima, Orli Pnina bat Rachel, Frida Chaya, Malka Esther bat Zippor, Daniel ben Miriam Chaya Rut, Yosef ben Rachel, Leah bat Rivka, Rafael Yoshua Falek ben Bracha Batya, Yenta Miriam bat Chana Rachel, Avram ben Zohar, Yael Miriam bat Chaya. Okay, we were looking at the sources about this Takana Rabban Gamliel, the woman could take a neder, and then we had a whole question: how could she take a neder? Remember, she wants to collect her tuba money from the yatomim. In theory, to collect from yatomim, from orphans, you have to swear that you didn't collect anything during the husband's lifetime, or anyone needs to do this. The almana also, because maybe she took some of her tuba money during her life, even though it's only coming to her after. Therefore, she's supposed to swear, but then we were worried about swearing falsely, so they said you could take a neder instead. And then we saw that Rav didn't like nedarim either and thought that women were going to lie when it comes to nedarim, and therefore he wouldn't let women collect their ketubah money. By the way, I feel like I didn't point this out well enough. According to him, and this is why that story that happened with that woman where they wouldn't let her collect her tuba and they wouldn't let her collect her mizonot and she cursed the rabbi because of it, was really because it's true that Rav wouldn't let women collect their tuba money, but because of that, he would let them get mizonot. In other words, it wasn't like he was leaving them high and dry without anything. If you can't, remember how the tuba works. You either get your lump sum, or until you demand your lump sum, you get a monthly stipend of mizonot. So Rav said, we have no way for her to get her ketubah money because we have no way to know if she collected some of it during the husband's lifetime. Therefore, we can't let her collect the lump sum, but we can let her get mizonot. Shmuel, on the other hand, said that she can get her ketubah if she wants, and she can get her mizonot. The case that we saw with that woman who was stuck with a Rav Paskin, both like Rav and both like Shmuel, was that she came to get her ketubah in the court. They wouldn't let her because they paskin like Rav, and then they said, well, we're also going to paskin like Shmuel, who says, as soon as you come to court to get your ketubah money, we no longer are going to give you mizonot. You're not allowed. You're already saying, I'm cutting myself off from the husband's family, and you can't get mizonot. And that's why she was left high and dry and couldn't do anything. But that was really because they paskin like Rav and Shmuel, and that was why she cursed the rabbi and said, you can't do like him and leave me high and dry. So basically, that was the situation. But Rav himself, even though we wouldn't let them get the ketubah, they would be allowed to get the mizonot. So it wasn't like he was leaving them without anything. But then the Gemara starts bringing up this issue about that the husband can cancel her neder, right? He can be mayfair the neder. Or she can go to a chacham to be mayfair the neder. So then we were talking about do you have to be mefaret the neder? And if you have to be mefaret the neder, well then, obviously the chacham is not going to be matir that type of neder. And with the husband, it was when she would say it before she got remarried, because once she's remarried, if any neder she takes before the marriage, the husband can't cancel. Okay, so now we're at the bottom with this Mishnah. Hanosei nashim ba'avera. Okay, the quote's none. Hanosei nashim ba'avera, pasul ad shidor hana'a. If you marry women, you marry a woman, ba'avera, right? You're not allowed to work in the Beit HaMikdash if you're a Kohen until you make a neder that I won't get hana'ah from her. V'tanei alan, it says, what should he do then? He's not going to yet divorce her and he wants to do the avoda. So noder v'over yoredu megaresh. Okay, we read this yesterday. So we can take the neder, then he can start working, then he's yored. Yored, by the way, means he's yored from the Mikdash, from the avoda, and then he's migaresh. As soon as he's madir hana'ah from his wife, then he immediately is allowed to do the avoda. And what does this prove? V'i amart eino tzarich lefaret et haneder. If he doesn't have to be mefaret the neder, lichush dilma azal legabe chacham v'sharela. Right? In other words, this should prove that you must need to be mefaret the neder. Because if you don't specify what the neder is, then he could go to the mikdash, he could take this neder, I won't get any hana from my wife. He'll go work in the Beit HaMikdash. He'll come back home. He'll go to a chacham. He'll say, oh, I took a neder. I want to cancel it. The chacham says, okay, fine. And then it turns out he worked in the Mikdash when really he was married to this woman he wasn't allowed to be. So therefore, it must be, you have to be mefaret the neder. So now they say, no, it could be a case, dimadrina la berabim. It could be not that he needs to be mefaret the neder. We're going to see now all sorts of different types of nedarim that can't be canceled, even by a chacham. It could be he took the neder in public, and if he takes the neder in public, it has a certain status that no longer allows us to cancel the neder. So now they say, well, that only works, though. Hani chalamanda amar neder shudar rabim en lo hafara. As I just want to clarify what we're doing. We took a Mishnah, and we're trying to prove all these deot of Amoraim. Do you need to read the neder? Do you need to... Based on what the Mishnah said. So the Mishnah seems to imply a neder is totally fine. So if a neder is totally fine, it must mean...
Is that right?
In this case, only for a man what?
Only men. This nadar.
No. This, a woman could take a neder, and it would be the same thing.
Yes.
So the question here becomes, is can we learn from this Mishnah the fact that we allow this man to take the neder and... then work in the mikdash before he actually divorces his wife, right? We're talking about like a Kohen Grusha case or something like that. How can we allow him based on this neder? So first interpretation was, it must prove from here that you have to be mefaret the neder. Because then what would happen? He'd go to the Chacham to be mefaret the neder, and the Chacham would say, I'm not maturing that neder. You just worked in the mikdash. You have to divorce your wife. Sorry. But they say no, because it could be, now this is what we call an ukimta. It could be that the Mishnah is talking about, even though it didn't say so, what's an ukimta? It'd say the Mishnah is talking about a particular case, even though it didn't say so. The case was that he took a neder in public. In other words, when it says he took a neder, it has to be that he took a neder in public. So they say, so we don't know exactly what public means. It could be 2, it could be 3, it could be 10, not so clear. So that would only work, though, ha-nicha, to explain that the Mishnah was the Madrina Lab Rabbim, right? We're at the very, very top now of Lama Vav Amud Aleph. Ha-nicha lamanda amar neder shuhudar rabim en lo hafara. That would work according to, right? We're never going to see, not everybody agrees that if you take a public neder, it can't be canceled. So it only works if you say that a neder shuhudar rabim en lo hafara. Ela lamanda amar yesh lo hafara ma'ika lameimar. But the one who says that it can be, so again, how would you explain this Mishnah? Would you have to say that this Mishnah proves that you'd have to be mefaret the neder when you go to do atarat nedarim? So now they say, no, there's another way you could read the Mishnah. It could be demadrina ma al da'at rabim. Okay? Da'amar ameimar, hold up for 1 minute and I'll explain. Because ameimar says, hilchata, the halacha is, that afilu lamanda amar neder shuhu dar barabim yesh lo hafara, al da'at rabim ein lo hafara. Okay, what does this mean? If you take a neder al da'at rabim, okay, now we're going to see in a minute three different interpretations of what exactly this means. The assumption is there's levels here, okay? There's neder shehu dar rabim, you took it publicly, in which case there's a machloket still. Can you be made for this type of neder? Can you be matir this type of neder, or can you not? And then there's a higher level, which is if you did it al da'at rabim. And on that, a meimar paskins that even if you say, even the one who says that publicly, it would be okay to matir that neder. If you did it al da'at the public, okay, with the intent, we'll see in a minute what this means, then everyone agrees that you can't matir that type of neder. Okay, what does it mean al da'at rabim? Three different interpretations I'll bring you. One is Rashi and Rav Haigaon, who says that the rabim impose upon the person a vow. They, right, usually you take your own vow. Here, the public says, we're forcing you to take a vow, okay, for whatever reason that this person did. So it could be, let's say, with the Kohen case. So the Kohen marries a Grusha. He wants to do the Avoda. So they say, we'll let you do the Avoda, but we're imposing a vow upon you that you must be mudar hana'ah from your wife, and then you could do the Avoda. So it's imposed by the public, okay? And in that case, if the public imposes it, there's no hatara. The second one, did you want to ask a question, Shoshana, or?
No, I was
going to
ask you for an example.
Oh, okay.
But it's weird.
It's weird to think that the public would impose a neder on someone. Yes. Vows in general, you take upon yourself.
I also don't see it's a public imposition.
No, because again, he wants to work. So they say, if you want to work in the Beit HaMikdash, so we're imposing upon you a vow that you're mudar hana'ah from your wife right now, and then you can do the avoda, and then we know for sure that you'll divorce her because you won't be able to stay married to her.
I just, when we were in the Dharma, it was more like things that weren't necessarily asur. I'm never gonna eat fruit.
I'm never gonna be with my wife. And that's, yes, it's asur.
But he's doing it because he's in an isur situation.
He's doing it because he wants, right. Well, he wants to work in the avodi. He doesn't have to work.
But he's
also in a marriage, it's true. It's a little weird because he's not allowed to get hana'ah from his wife anyway. It's true. It's a little bit of a weird case because
it's not a public saying you can't do this. It's the Torah saying you really can't do this.
And right. It's true that there's a little bit of an issue here because it's a neder on a dvar isur, but I think We saw that there were different opinions about you can make a neder, you can't make a shvua on an, something that's asur, but it could be you could take a neder, but davar hasur. He's not allowed to be with his wife in any case, is what Shoshana is saying, because... So there's a machloket about whether rabbim is 2 people, 3 people, or 10 people. There's 3 different opinions. Okay, some people say even 2, and some people say you need actually 10. And other people say the standard is 3.
And it has to be men.
I assume, probably. It's not so clear, though. The truth is, this kind of thing might not necessarily be male, female. Might not be. Okay. So, we're going to get to something interesting and controversial in a minute or two. You'll be interested. Okay. The next opinion is to say that he says, and this is what I made reference to at the end of class yesterday, he says, this is Rabbi Enutam, it's based on the consent of so-and-so and so-and-so, again, depending 2, 3, or 10, but you say, I'm taking a neder with the consent of you and you and you and you. Okay, again, 2, 10, 3, whatever you say, but I'm taking it on the consent of specific people. And then the assumption is since you brought in other people, your whole idea was to make it much stronger, in which case it's a strong neder. By the way, you have to wonder why we never discussed this when we were in Nedarim, right? I'm sure you're all thinking about that. We had all these discussions of Nedarim, and we never had this thing about Aldat Rabim. Sometimes that's just the way the Gemara works. Like it quotes something somewhere else, and it doesn't quote it where it belongs, but it's strange that we didn't bring it up there. Okay, the next option is the Rambam, who says that he just says the words al da'at rabim. It's a type of neder that you use the words al da'at rabim. Okay, the Rambam gives different interpretations, but he says including. And that if you said it al da'at so and so and so and so and so and so, and even if you just said the words, and as according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says you have to say it about specific people, would say if you just said the words al da'at rabim, right, which was very reminiscent of the sugya, v'chol shum sheyesh la, is it just the words v'chol shum sheyesh la, or you have to actually say all the words? So it's the same issue here. So Rambam says, even if you just say the words, al dat rabim, that's a strong type of neder that can't be canceled. Okay. Now we're going to see a very interesting case. V'hanin mile lidvar harishut. This is all, it has no hafara if, remember hafara and hatara are a little interchangeable here, it really means hatara, if it's for a regular dvar harishut. Aval lidvar mitzvah, yesh lo hafara. But if you took a neder and now it's preventing you from doing a mitzvah, then we allow hatara in this case. Okay, that's not so controversial, but now we're going to see a very controversial case, particularly in light of events that go on in our world, unfortunately. Kiyahu mikre dardike. There was a guy who taught children. De'adre rav acha al dat rabim. Okay, here's your proof, by the way. Shoshana, you were bothered by this. Rav acha is madir oto. Okay, adre rav acha al dat rabim means the rav acha made him take a neder al dat rabim. This is a good proof for the first opinion, that it's someone else imposing a neder upon him. To have a pasha biyanuke. Okay, now nobody knows what pasha biyanuke is, okay? But obviously, he was doing something bad. He was teaching students, but he was poshea, he was doing something wrong with the children. Okay, so the Mefarshim talk about he was hitting them. Another.
The translation says by hitting them more than necessary.
Okay, hitting them more than necessary, okay. Right, a little disturbing. Either he was hitting them more than necessary, or he was, or some people say that he was, he didn't give them the proper attention, okay, which I find difficult in what you're going to see after. Yeah, obviously, we can imagine maybe there was something sexual going on from things that we know from today, that maybe in those days they wouldn't talk about as much, but anyway, he was obviously doing something wrong. Now, this is the problematic, controversial part, and the way the sugya ends is very disturbing. Va'ahadre Ravina de lo ishtekach de die kavate. Ravina brought him back. In other words, he repealed the neder, even though it was a neder shehudar b'rabim. He repealed the neder because he said there's nobody who's so medayek like this teacher. In other words, he's a very good... Again, what does it mean he's a very good teacher, right? And especially if you go with the interpretation, he wasn't paying enough attention to his students, right? But what's he saying? He's so brilliant, this guy, that he repealed the neder. And this really, right, is so, what's the word?
It's upsetting.
Well, it's disturbing, but it rings so relevant, right? It's so much the struggle that you see today between these people who are brilliant scholars. But, you know, we actually saw this recently with Geneva, who was this brilliant guy, and yet he was a very controversial figure, and people were debating, should we show him respect or shouldn't we show him respect? And it's the same thing here. There's this, you know, what's disturbing here is how the sugya ends, right? You want to hear more of the first guy, you know, and that he retorted and he said, what are you talking about? You know, you can't have this guy teaching. Anyway, you see the struggle that people have, that they say, but this guy's so brilliant, how could you have him stop teaching? It's such a way, you know, so chaval. And here they call it a dvar mitzvah, and it's for, you know, lidvar mitzvah, we can repeal a neder. But obviously it's very difficult, the conclusion here. But at least you see that Rav Acha had enough wherewithal to say this can't go on. So again, like today, when you have people who come out very strongly against, and then you have people who then support the person. Anyway, very relevant. Okay, now we're moving on. We're going to move on. This actually, interestingly enough, this is our issue of the Eidim Chotmim al Get. This could be a very short sugya, and then we're going to move right away to Prizbal. Okay, but we'll do this as quick as the Gemara does. Va'Eidim Chotmim al Get mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Okay, remember, the Eidim have to sign on the Get because of tikkun olam. So the Gemara immediately says, mipnei tikkun olam, what do you mean? Do'oraitahu. It's do'oraita that you need signatures on the Get. Now, remember what the Torah says. What does the Torah say? Vikatav vinatan. It doesn't say vikatav vichatam vinatan. So what do you mean it's d'oraita? And they quote not a pasuk from the Torah. What do they quote? A pasuk from the Nevi'im. We talked about this in the beginning of the Masechet. Dichtiv uchtov v'sefer v'chatom from Yirmiyahu. When he writes the shtar of, he buys a field, his uncle. So it says there, and he wrote in the book and he signed. So what did they learn from here? That the ktiva means ktiva v'chatima. So when it says v'katav in the Torah, it means and he signed. So therefore, how could you say it's tikkun olam? It's d'oraita. So Amar Rabba, lo tzricha l'rabi Elazar, d'amar eidim esira karte. What do we say? That this holds like, remember, there was a whole difference of opinion. According to Rabbi Meir, the ktiva, the chatima is what's critical. So when it says v'katav in the Torah, it really means v'chatam. And that's why he didn't need ktiva lishma as much so as Rabbi Elazar did. According to Rabbi Elazar, he says, Eidim Esira Karte, it's the ones who give the get that are important, not the ones who sign. He says, when it says v'katav, it means v'katav. It doesn't mean v'chatam. So you say, according to Rabbi Meir, it's d'oraita. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's only d'rabanan mipnei tikkun olam. But the Gemara doesn't really like saying that this Mishnah, which seems like such a bsisi Mishnah, only goes according to Rabbi Elazar. So they're going to also explain it according to Rabbi Meir. But before we do that, we're going to explain, according to Rabbi Elazar, Eidim Esira Karte, so what do you need Chatimot for? So this we brought up already in the past, but we'll read it now inside, because this is where it comes from, everything we've discussed. Tekina Rabbanan Eidi Chatima Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam. Why? You know, even though you don't really need the signatures, they were metakin signatures, dizimnin demaite sade. Sometimes the witnesses might die, happens, right? And then you won't have the witnesses who saw the get, and therefore you want to have something written for posterity. Inami zimnin na'azle lemedinat hayam. Sometimes they travel abroad and then they're not accessible. So therefore, you're better off having signatures and not relying on finding the two witnesses who happen to see her get the get. Second interpretation, Rav Yosef Amar, Afilu Tema l'Rabbi Meir, we could even explain this mission according to Rabbi Meir. Hitkinu shiyehei edim mefarshim shmotehem bigitim mipnei tikkun ha'olam. They made a takana, not the edim would sign on the get. Always edim had to sign on the get, that's obvious. But what was the issue? Okay, so now it's going to be unclear exactly what the originally people would do. But they would write their whole name out on the get. Okay? They would be mefarshim shmotehem. So there's a machlok at what this means. And there's what was before and what was after. Some people say that they would write their name without their father's name, and that they should just learn to add their father's name so that they were more easily identifiable. If you just write Moshe, who's going to know what Moshe you are? But if you write Moshe ben Yosef, then it'll be a little easier to just figure out which Moshe. Right? In our day, you would say last names, right? Some people say that each person just wrote Ani Ploni Chatamti Ed, and they wouldn't write their name at all. They wouldn't, you know, that was what they would say. Ani ploni chatamti eid. And they would just sign like eid. Right? It's interesting in terms of historically, and we don't really know, but you could try to figure out from here historically what they used to sign on documents. You know, did they just sign eid, and that was it? And then they, instead of writing eid, they had to write their name. Or maybe they had symbols, which we're going to see soon in the sugya. They're going to talk about symbols. And maybe, you know, like a scribble, right? So many people sign with a scribble. If you see half the signatures that people sign, or probably more than half, no one could identify their name based on that. So maybe, you know, like nowadays you put a line underneath and you write the name out in full. Maybe that's what they would do or something, right? It's unclear exactly what it means.
Would they have a stamp?
Would they have a stamp, maybe? Okay, so now we're going to see. So that's according to Rabbi Meir, they always sign. Now they just had to make their signature more legible so that if somebody came to question it, they'd be able to find the person and figure out, was this really his signature? The assumption was, here, they're going to say now, Kiditanya, Barishona haya kotev ani ploni chatamti eid. Okay, now this would support the opinion that they just wrote ani ploni chatamti eid, but not necessarily. This could, from here, they interpreted all different things. Ani ploni could just be I Moshe chatamti eid. It could be ani ploni chatamti eid, but he scribbled it, okay? Im ktav yotze mimakom acher kasher. If they recognized the scribble or the symbol or the name Moshe or whatever, and they had another signature that matched exactly, then it would be fine. But im lav, if somebody came to be ma'ara on the get, and we didn't know how to find the signature, it would be pasul. So amar Rabban Gamliel, takana dolad, kinu shiyum afarshim shmotehem begitim ripnei tikkun olam. Okay, so this braita supports the opinion of Rav Yosef that we can even understand this mission according to Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara asks, so besimna lo, you can't use a siman to sign your name, you actually have to be mefaresh the shame. How do we know that this really does work? Vaha, Rav, okay, you came, Rav obviously is an Amora, the first Amora, and he came after the Tekana of Rabban Gamliel. And what do we know about him? Sier Kora, he drew a fish. That was his siman. V'Rabbi Chanina, Tzier Charuta. Okay, he did a palm tree branch. That was his signature. Okay, each of these rabbis had a picture that they would do. Rav Chista Samach. He would just put a Samach for Chista. Rav Hoshaya Ayin, from the Ayin in Hoshaya. V'Rabba Barbar Puna Tzier Makuta. He made a sail. Okay, so everybody had a certain siman or letter or something that was for them. So how could that be that they did that? If Rabban and Gamliel's Takana said you have to be Mefresh Shmotehem. So the answer is Shanei Rabbanan Debekinan Simanai Hu Meikara. These rabbis they were known, and everybody knew their signatures, so it was fine. Everybody knew if you saw a sail, that was Rav Huna. Rav Huna. And if you saw a Samach, that was Rav Chista. Everybody knew that, so therefore it was known. So now the obvious question: But how did they know them in the first place if they couldn't sign their name on documents like this? So how could they have possibly ever done this in the first place, right? First the chicken or the egg, right? It's like how'd they do it the first time? So what do they say? Bidiski. They recognized it first because they would write letters, right? Letters don't need signatures that are, right? They used to write letters. Imagine also rabbis probably wrote shelo to tshuvo to people, right? People would send them questions. They write back letters. They didn't need a formal signature. They put their symbol. So once they became familiar from their letters with their symbols, then they were allowed to do it even in court. Okay, but a regular person whose mark is not identifiable would have to write their whole name. Okay, so again, two different interpretations of why the Eidim were chotmim al get. Is it just that the fact that they have to sign Bichlal and it's Rabbi Elazar, or is it Rabbi Meir and it wasn't that they have to sign? The Tikkun Olam was really that they have to sign their entire name or, you know, make their name clear. Okay. New Takana, Hillel Hitkim Pruzbal, Vichule. Tnan Hatam. Now we're going to quote the Mishnah itself about Pruzbal, because here it's not really its place. Where does it come up? In Masechet Shvi'it. So now we're going to quote the Mishnah that we actually made reference to before, and then we're going to ask all sorts of questions on Pruzbal. How could you have a Takana of Pruzbal? How does this work? If you remember, we have this whole thing about Rabban Gamliel, when he was Mitaken, that you can't be Mevatel the Get, and the whole question was, when we got to the Sugya of Afke'inu, was, how can you force, right, how can you say that Mida Oraita, the husband doesn't want to give the get, and yet it's a good get because he went against the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, right? How does a Dirabanan Takana override Oraita? It could be the exact question here. If Shemitah Ksapim is canceled Mida Oraita, how can the rabbis come and say, oh, we're canceling out Shemitah Ksapim, right? There is no Shemitah Ksapim. You can override a Oraita. And that's what's really going on in this whole parak is really, how do you have, or at least in some of the sugyas, how do you have the rabbis come along and change the Doraita, really? Okay? Because that's what they're doing here. Right? The Torah says all loans after the Shemitah year, right, dissolve. And then the rabbis are saying, oh, no, they don't, right? You can. It's a loophole, right? You can do a Pruzbal and override it. But then what happened to the Torah concept, right? You've basically disappeared, you know, you made it disappear, and you're going against something Doraita. So that's going to be the big question here. Tanan Hatam. So the Mishnah there in Shvi'it says, Pruzbal eino meshamet. Okay? If you have Pruzbal, then your loan is no longer canceled. Ze echad min hadvarim she'hitkin Hillel ha'zaken. And now we're going to see why he did it, even though we already know this. She'ra'a ta'am she'nimne'u milahalvot ze et ze. Okay, he saw that people weren't loaning money to each other because they were worried that people wouldn't pay their loan and then the loan would disappear. Vavru amasha ketuba Torah. Now he's adding in, right? Well, it's true, we're kind of uprooting the Joraita, but they were over amasha ketuba Torah. He shamer lecha pen yeh davarim levocha bil yal. Okay, what's that pasuk? That lemor kerva shnat hasheva shnat hashmita v'ra'a incha b'achicha evyon v'lo titein lo. The Torah specifically says we're worried that people, right, you shouldn't do that, where you're going to basically say, oh, well, I'm not going to loan this person money because I know I won't get paid back. So basically that was happening. And he said, well, since that's happening, Amavit came Pruzbal, okay? He made Pruzbal. Now, what is Pruzbal? How does it work? V'zehu gufo shel Pruzbal. This is a continuation of the Mishnah. Mosrani lachem, when we quoted this Mishnah before, ploni hadayanim, shebemakom ploni, shekol chov sheyesh li etzah ploni, sheagvenu kozman sheertze. Okay, I'm giving to you the dayanim, who are in this and this place, that any chov I have, I will be able to collect it whenever I want. Ba'dayanim chotmim lamata o ha'edim. Okay, and that needs to be signed either by dayanim or edim. We discussed already what this means. We're not going to get into it now. Okay, now what this is called is, it's called his Moser Shtarotav LeBeitin. Now, there's a case where there's a whole big disagreement here about how Pruzbal actually works. Is it that you're actually Moser Shtarotav LeBeitin? In which case, it's not really a takana because there's already a Midrash Halacha that says that from the Torah, this whole thing, it's about forget the Pasuk, right? Lo Yigos et Re'ehu, Ve'et Achiv, Ki Karash Mita LaHashem. It's only between man and his friend, but it's not between a beitin. So that the laws of Shemitah Ksafim just don't apply to a beitin. And if they don't apply to a beitin, then what are you doing when you're doing Pruzbal? You're basically making the beitin responsible for your loan. In which case, what's the real takana of Hillel? It was already the case that you can give your shtarot to beitin. He just made it popular and said everybody should do this. He recommended it. He said this is a recommended formula that everybody should do. Other people said, no, even though the Sifrei learns this from the Pasuk, it doesn't mean it's really Deoraita. That Mida Oraita, if you gave it to Beit Din, it would be okay. And what Hillel's Chidush is, if we give it to Beit Din, then we're going to understand that the laws of Shemitah Ksafim don't actually apply here. And it was a much bigger Chidush than if we read it the other way. You understand? One way of reading it is that he wasn't really Mechadesh so much, he just took a halacha that maybe wasn't so known to people, that if you give the responsibility to the Beit Din, they'll do it, right? Then you can do it. And he made it very simple for people to do, that you just have to, even it says here, you don't even need the Dayanim to sign, even the Edim could sign. In other words, he made it a very easy, smooth process for people and made it public and popular. The other thing is that, no, he really changed the halacha. That really, from the halacha, you know, the halacha perspective, Mida Oraita, it doesn't even work if you're Moser Shtarot. And his Chiddush was, that you can be Moser Shtarot LeBeit Din, and that will work.
But he's going against the spirit of Shmita.
Ah, yafet. So now that's going to be the whole question. Umi ika midi, and could there be something demida oraita mishamta shvit v'itkin hilel delo mishamta? How could it be if midah oraita shvit is, you know, cancels this loan? How could he come and say it doesn't? So now we're going to have one answer, and then possibly we're going to have a second answer. We're going to see at the very end of the sugya, Rava pitches in, and I'm telling you now because we're going to get lost in the train of thought. Some people say that Rava is actually answering this question also. Okay, when he answers. Some people think he's answering just a question that came up on Abaye and he's answering it differently than Abaye does. But there's a machloket about whether Rav is answering two questions in one or he's just answering one. So I'm saying it now so you'll keep it in your mind for when we get there. So how could it be? So Amar Abaye, b'shvi'i b'zmanazeh, v'rebihi. It's talking about Shmita b'zmanazeh. Shmita b'zmanazeh is only Jerabanan. The Rebbe, he, and it's according, how do we know it's only Drabbanan? Lefishita Rebbe, what does Rebbe say? Ditanya Rebbe Omer, v'zeh dvar ha-shmitah shemot, says, v'zeh dvar ha-shmitah shemot, and it says v'chulei. Now there's a double lashon, shmita shemot. So what do they say? B'shtei shmitot ha-ketub medaber, achat shmitah karka, v'achat shmitah ksafim. Bizman she'ata meshamet karka, ata meshamet ksafim. Bizman she'i ata meshamet karka, i ata meshamet ksafim. There's two Shemitah. There's Shemitah on the land and there's Shemitah on the loans, and they're intertwined. When one applies, the other applies. When one doesn't apply, the other doesn't apply. And Shemitah, Bizman HaZeh, is only Drabbanan. Yafeh. Jumps in Rashi and says, what do you mean? In the time of Hillel, It was Doraita. There's the amount of Beit HaMikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash is around, Shemitah is Doraita. So they say not necessarily. Okay? There's the whole sugya, we learned this, about Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia, and whether when they came back and Bayit Sheni, there was the full Kedusha, and Yovel wasn't Noheg. And they say that when Yovel's not Noheg, maybe Shemitah's also not Noheg. Midoraita. And there's a whole machloket about it, and there's a whole thing about how you understand this. I'm going to leave it aside, but you can look at Rashi there about the whole issue. So Rashi claims that even in Bayit Sheni, since there wasn't Yovel, so Shemitah also wasn't Doraita. They didn't do Yovel at all in Bayit Sheni. So the question is, why didn't they do Yovel and they did Shemitah, right? Why would you make a distinction? So some of the Freshim explained that Yovel is something that was very difficult to do because you ended up with 2 years straight of no work in the land because the 49th year was Shemitah and the 50th year was Yovel. And that was too much to ask for people. Once it's no longer Doraita, we're not going to institute that. So Yovel was no longer Noheg at all. And when Yovel was no longer Noheg at all, they say Shemitah is only Derabbanan. So therefore, Shemitah, according to this interpretation, and Bayit Sheni was only Derabbanan. And that's what he says. So Abai's answer is, Shemitah is only Derabbanan. Okay? And therefore, we're not okay a halacha midoraita. Because, like, let's put it this way. Yovel wasn't Noheg and Bayit Sheni. Because Yovel wasn't Noheg, Shemitah Karka wasn't Noheg, Shemitah Karka was Noheg, only midorabbanan. If Shemitah Karka is only Noheg midorabbanan, the drasha here is, only when Shemitah Karka is Noheg midoraita, Shemitah Ksafim is Noheg midoraita. And since Shemitah Karka wasn't Noheg, Shemitah Ksafim wasn't Noheg midoraita. And then you avoid the whole question of the doraita. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead for 1 minute just to Rava so that you see Rava in the context. Rava's on the fifth line of the next page, and Rava has a different answer. Again, assuming Rava's actually answering this question or not, we don't know. But Rava Amar Hefker Beit Din Haya Hefker. We're talking here about money issues. Do you have to pay back a loan or not? So what does Rava say? Yes, midoraita, you don't have to pay back this loan. But the rabbis have the power to move money hands from one hand to the other. That's their whole koach. We just learned that with Makoch Beit Din Yafer, right? That you can do hefker beit din hefker. If that's the case, so yes, midoraita, you're not supposed to pay back this loan. But midorabbanan, the rabbis could say we have a bigger goal, which is we want people to loan money, and therefore we can remove money from one person's hand to the other, and it's not really oker doraita. It's just the koach v'chachamim that they can move money from people's hands to other people's hands. Okay, but that's if Rava is actually using that to answer this question or not. Okay, so now that's Rebbe. So now we're going to have another question. V'tekinu d'rabbanan. Okay, so if, let's just continue how this works with Rebbe. Rebbe says, Zedvar shmitah shemot b'shtei shmitot ha-ketub medaber, right? Shmitah karka, shmitah ksafim. So when you're mishamei karka, you're mishamei ksafim. When you're iyatah mishamei karka, when there's no shmitah karka, then iyatah mishamei ksafim. But then, so then there shouldn't be any Shemitah Ksafim, right? But then, v'takinu rabbanan d'tishameit zecher lashvi'it. But they didn't want Shemitah Ksafim, the whole concept, to go into oblivion, and no one will ever remember that there was such a concept. So they were remitakein that there is such a concept of Shemitah Ksafim, so the people don't forget. Ra'ahilel, which is the same about Shemitah Karka, right? Nowadays, Shemitah is only midrabbanan. But then what happened? So yes, they were mitaken as a takana, right? But Hillel saw shenimnu ha'ami lahavot zeh. People stopped loaning. Amavit kim pruzbal. Okay, now they're going to flip the question and ask it from a different direction. Okay, assuming now what happened? Now we're going to question, how did the rabbis institute Shmitat Ksafim when it was no longer Noheg? If there's no Shmitat Ksafim, that means that according, right, Mita Oraita, everybody has to pay back their loan. So how can the Chachamim come now and say, you don't have to pay back your loan? Okay? You follow? In other words, we're going to look at this in both directions now. Umi'i kamidi de Mita Oraita lo misham tashvi'it v'tekinu rabbana de tishameit. In other words, people are affected in both directions from this. Right, the guy now is not going to get paid back his loan when he should. How did the rabbis have the power to do that? So Amar Abaye.
So what's that case?
The case is that Mida Oraita, the loan's not supposed to be canceled. I lend you money. You're supposed to pay me back. Even if Shemitah comes up now, because there's no Shemitah except in Mida Oraita. But now what happens? The rabbis came and said, well, we want to keep some sort of memory of the concept of Shemitah Ksafim, so we're going to say all loans are canceled and I don't get my money back. That's not fair to me as the lender. Right? This is before Hillel kicked in and said, we'll make a takana prusbal. So how could the rabbis, just for this concept of zecher l'shvi'it, say that I don't get my loan back? When by Torah law, I should, because by Torah law, there's no Shemitah Kesafim anymore. Okay, that's the question. So on that, we're going to have two answers of Abaye and Rava. And that's the whole question. Is Rava only answering this question in this answer, or was he also answering the previous question? So Amar Abaye, Sheval Tasehu, if you don't pay me my loan, Cindy, you're just not doing anything. It's not like you're actively going against something the Torah said. You're just not repaying the loan. So that's called the Sheval Tasen. There's a little bit of a problem with this because you're supposed to return loans. Like there's a halacha, right? You're supposed to pay back your loan. So by not doing it, you're not doing something, but you're not doing it, you're not actively going against something it says in the Torah. And there's always a concept that Sheval Tasen is different from a kumase, right? You go actively and do something, it's different. So Abaye says, you're just not repaying the loan, it's not such a big deal. It's a Sheval Tasen. Rava Amar, Hefker Beit Dinaya Hefker. Okay, Rava says again that concept that no, it's true that you're not supposed to pay, it's true that you're supposed to pay me back the loan, but the rabbis can come along and say, for higher value, because we want people to remember that the Shvi, we're going to cancel loans, and we're going to say, the money that's deserving to me is just going to stay in your hands. Right? They have that power to do that. Okay? And that's why I said, like before, it could be Rabbi's answering both questions with this answer, or it could be he's just answering this one specifically. Because both questions are really the same type of questions. How do the rabbis have the power to change what should be Mida Oraita? Okay, and what should be Mida Oraita just changes with time. The first time it was there is Shemitah Kesafim Mida Oraita, and they're saying there isn't. And then over time, when there was no longer Shemitah Kesafim Mida Oraita, because we were no longer, right, the Kedusha Rishona was canceled, and therefore there's no more Mida Oraita. So then how could the rabbis come and institute it? Okay, now we're going to learn, how do we know the Hefker Beit Din Haya Hefker? To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, when I have two different sources, Minayin Shefker Beit Din Haya Hefker, where do we know they have this power? Shneamar, we're going to learn it from Ezra. Bechol Asher, if you remember in Ezra, we've seen this a bunch of times, there were all these men who married non-Jewish women. And Ezra made this big public thing, everybody has to come and divorce their wives, and etc. So when he was telling the people to come, he obviously was concerned people weren't going to show up. So what does he say? V'chol asher lo yavo l'shloshat hayamim, if you don't come in 3 days, ka'atzat ha'sarim v'azkenim, yecharam kol rechusho v'hu yi badel mikahal ha'gola. Okay, we're going to put you in cherem, and we're going to take all your money. We're going to, you know, have a lien on all your property. So here you see that they can just come in and take property. Now we're going to see the difference between this and the next case. This case is in a case where people, they're being machrim rechush of someone who did something wrong. Okay, whereas the next case is not going to be out of wrongdoing. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Mehacha, Elu hanachalot asher nachalu al Azar HaKohen v'Yoshua bin Nun v'Rashei HaAvot v'chulei. V'chima anyam rashim etzal avot. Why does it say Rashei HaAvot? Lomar lecha, ma avot manchilim et b'nehem kol ma sheyirtzu, af rashim manchilim ha'am kol ma sheyirtzu. When they gave out the nachala, what were they basically doing? This is like the case we saw about the Yatomim who took property, right? A father, if he wants, he could say, I want you to get this. Let's say he has five fields, and he has five kids. He can say, I want you to get this one, I want you to get that one, I want you to get that one. He has the power to do that. So they say, why does it say Rashi Avot? The Rashim have the same power as Avot, that they can say, I want you to get, you know, when they did the Nachala, they gave so-and-so this land and so-and-so that land. How do they have the power to do that? Someone could claim, hey, I wanted that land, but no. Hefker Beit and Hefker, they have total control. And once they say this is yours, and the chiddush here is even without a kinyan on the property, it now belongs to you because the Beit Din decided it's yours. You don't even need a kinyan on it. Okay?
That takes away the rule of law. It seems very dangerous.
It's dangerous, yeah, but you have to hope that the people in power are people who know what they're doing and are careful about how they do it. Yes, it's a very powerful statement about giving them this power to do this. Absolutely. Okay. Ibai Elihu. Now we have a question. Now we're going to see, through this question, we're going to get to different approaches to how this prusbol was accepted by people. Did people like prusbol, or did people think it wasn't such a good thing? Okay, which is also very interesting. Ki hitkin hilal prusbol lidare hu detakin? Did he just do it for his generation? Oh, dilma lidare alma nami takin. Or did he do it forever? Did he say, I'm instituting this takana that's going to last forever? Right? It's a good question. When people make a takana, right, they don't always specify if it's for the future or if it's just for now to resolve some issue. L'may naf kamina, so what do we care whether it's, right? So what? He did it for his generation, but it's continued. What's the difference? So the difference is libitule. If you wanted to cancel prusbol, it would be much easier to cancel it if you could say the Hillel was only matkin for his generation. Without a problem, right? If he said it, he just did it for his generation, right? Ledare is Lador, right? Lador Shelo. But if you say that he did it for future generations, ha, we have a klal. Ein beidin yachol levatel divrei beidin chavero, ela im kein gadol himena b'chochma u'v'minyan. It is a very big statement. We're going to get to this a lot more in Sanhedrin. What exactly chochma means? What exactly minyan means? Does it mean more chachamim? Does it mean he's older? Right, that the chacham who did it was older than the other one? He has an age advantage. B'chochma, does it mean the chacham who did it has to be more chacham than, you know, the one who wants to cancel it has to be more chacham? Exactly, how do you measure chokhma? What is, maybe it's the collective, like if you collected all the intelligence of this Beit Din versus all the intelligence of that Beit Din, or the collective chokhma, which again, all of these are very hard to measure. I think that when you read this, it's really trying to say it really can't be done, right? Because it's very hard to start measuring all these things. Minyan could be hatzba'a. How many people voted for it? Like, let's say 33 people voted for it the first time and 40 people voted for it the second time to cancel it, so that would win out. It's unclear exactly how this plays itself out, and it's very, very relevant because it's relevant to any takana they made. Can you override it or not? These are the principles that guide whether you can override it or not. And obviously, since it's not clear how to explain it, it gets very complicated. So now, that's their question. So what's the situation? Tashma, let's learn it from here. Da Amar Shmuel, lo katvinam pruzbol, ela bebedina desura, I bebedina dinahardea. You can only do a pruzbol either in the Beit Din of Surah or the Beit Din of Nehardea. In other words, you can't go to any small local court. It's got to be done in the two big Batei Din. If you think that he did it for all generations, then you should be allowed to write it in any Beit Din. So they say, no, not necessarily. You could say, Dilma ki takin hillel ledari alma kigom beit din didehu karavami v'rav asi da'alim alaf kuei mamona aval lekulei alma lo. You could say that, no, he instituted it forever, but only in a Beit Din that's very strong like his. Okay? And they gave an example of like a Beit Din like Ravami and Ravasi. Okay? But not just any Beit Din. So that doesn't prove anything. Next attempt. Tashma. Let's learn it from here. Da'amar Shmuel. Ha pruzbala ulbana didayanehu. This pruzbal is bad news. Okay? It's the elbon of the dayanim. We're going to see exactly what this means. I'yasher chayel. If I was strong enough, avatline. I would cancel it. Okay? Very strong statement against pruzbal, right? So first they say, Avatline, how could you cancel it? And you're clearly not at that level. So Hachi Ka'amar, this is what he meant to say. If I was Yoter Gadol B'chumah B'minyan from Hillel in his court, then Avatline. He's saying it's a wish, right? I wish I could. Not that I'm going to, I won't. I won't because I can't. But I wish I could. Okay, so Obana Didayane. We're going to have, we'll leave it off for 1 minute because the Gemara is going to kind of ask. Rav Nachman Amar, a different approach was, Akaimena. Okay, so first of all, that's proving, by the way, that he did it, Ladare Alma. He did it forever. Otherwise, Shmuel wouldn't be complaining about it. Rav Nachman Amar, Akaimena. I would say this takana is Mikuyam. So they said, what are you talking about, Akaimena? Hamakayim Bekai, it does exist. What do you mean? I would say, so Hachi Kamar, Ema be milta da af agav de lo katuv ke katuv dame. I would say to everybody that even if you didn't write a prizbal, it's as if you wrote a prizbal. That all loans can be paid back regardless of whether you wrote a prizbal or not. He's saying, I would take Hillel one step further if I could. So now they ask, Hai ulbana lishna de chutzpahu or lishna de nichutahu? Is it that it's chutzpah of the dayanim? You know, let's stop here and we'll finish this up tomorrow. I see we're over, and this is just the small aside about how you understand this ulbana didayane and what he means by this. Okay, tomorrow also we're going to get to the etymology of pruzbal, what the word means, where it comes from. Pros buli buti. Think about what that means.